This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. It is that day we call Your Money Matters, brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage. Mr. Kurt Rogers in studio with us today.
Good afternoon. How are you?
You look all Eastery in your yellow.
Well, I mean, 70 degrees today.
Man, it's
hello.
Gorgeous, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, this is just beautiful. Now, we're supposed to get, what, six? Wet, heavy. But if you've lived here, you understand what that is.
Yep.
But it's just beautiful weather.
It is. It is absolutely gorgeous out there. And got a great
why
view
are we here? Why, we need to be outside doing something.
We should have pre-recorded.
Maybe do an outside show.
Played golf. Yeah.
Absolutely. Maybe we sit outside and do a show.
No
once.
Doubt. No doubt. Well, once again, thanks for being with us. And again, we call this show Your Money Matters. And Kurt and his team brings us this show each week, and a lot of times we'll have different guests on just talking about different things with money, and sometimes there's community efforts Kurt wants to help with, but today we're going to try to help you understand your credit a little bit and the importance of it when getting a mortgage. Now, you may be thinking, hey, of course I know I need to have good credit to get a mortgage, but do you understand what really makes up your credit score and all the different things there? So we're going to shed some light on that, Kurt, and I tell you, and I don't know if maybe you were different growing up, but maybe your dad told you the importance of credit and all this stuff, but man, a lot of folks didn't, you know, got credit cards in college and boom, 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 you know, and start saying, oh, I can do that. That's 30 bucks a month.
You know? Yeah. I mean, when you go back to when we grew up, there wasn't a whole lot of credit.
Sure.
I mean,
yeah, you're right.
Not
yeah.
a lot of people walked around with five or six credit cards in their pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a phase that we went through that all of a sudden, well, we can buy things and defer the payment. And the credit card companies got really smart on how that works. But most of the stuff that, well, if you don't pay cash, you don't get to own it. And so that kind of went away. So we started developing credit. And it's got to the point to where very seldom do you see people bring cash out of their pocket.
I know.
Everything's a credit card.
I don't even know what to do at a store if you hand them a $100 bill.
I'm the same way. For me, it's easier to manage my budget because I get to see every month what I'm spending my money on.
Mm-hmm.
If I look at the bill and I say, well, that's awful high. What did I do this? Oh, I remember. Okay.
Right.
And it comes back to you. But the advantage of a credit card is it's like cash. It's easier. But I'm not paying any interest on it if I'm paying it off in a month.
Mm-hmm.
Problem becomes when I carry it on too far.
Sure. And I tell you, you got to be careful. And I don't know what made me think of this, but you got to be careful. Sometimes you'll sign up for things and they'll say 0% for 6 months. And if you don't, usually the way those work is, if you don't pay that off in its entirety within that 6 months, they go back to day one charging you interest on what you did.
Yeah, that's in that small print.
There's a lot of things you got to be careful of when it's, you know,
my wife's
zero
got one of
interest.
Those, and it's $20,000. They send it to her every 18 months. They said, here's $20 if you want it. It's interest-free for the 18 months. Well, there's times we might want to go get something like shutters. So we'll pay for the shutters. But we set it up on a 15-month payment plan back mm-hmm. to her. So if we miss, we still got time because
yeah, exactly.
we don't want to pay any interest on that.
Exactly.
It's much easier.
So right.
Again, credit cards can be very useful and helpful, but they need to be disciplined and you need to train them, not that let them train you.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to kind of cover some of those areas.
Right. So maybe let's start with, there's three bureaus, right?
Correct.
And when you pull a mortgage, do you look at all three?
Yes. When I start a mortgage, I only look at one, and I could care less which one it is. I'm not so much looking at the credit score on one single bureau. What I'm looking at, it's going to give me an idea of what your scores are. But I'm looking at how the credit is established, what you have there. Are there any surprises? Do you have student debts in there that you're not making payments on? Do you have any kind of judgment that's been thrown on you that you don't know about?
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. People can put a judgment on your home and you not even tell you that they've done it. So by me running that, I get to look in there and see if something is a surprise. Or if you had a bankruptcy, when was it discharged, not when did you file it? Because there's a time frame on the discharge. The score is going to be what the score is going to be. I got to look for other areas that may surprise me that make the loan much more difficult to get than not get.
Mm-hmm.
And then depending on what the score is and where we want to go, I can look at ways, and we'll talk about how to get your scores up and do different things. But how to manage the car, that's what I'm going to experience. Those are the three main ones.
And rarely do the twain meet, right?
No, the scores are never the same in the two of them.
Ever.
Ever. No, that's not going to happen. Yeah. Because credit card companies, installment companies like car companies or mortgage companies don't always report to all three. Sometimes they'll only report to two. Well, that's going to change the scores because of the algorithms, the way they put the numbers together. So that's going to matter. And that's one of the things to pay attention to. Right now, you can get a free credit report. You're not looking at the score. You should be looking at some other things. Right. And after today, hopefully you'll see them and maybe start to fix up some.
So if you have a car that maybe you've had for a good while and you paid it well and all of a sudden you don't see that reporting on TransUnion, should you call TransUnion and get them to start reporting it?
Depending on what your score is and what else you have.
Okay.
There's so many moving parts of a credit score. It's once you get it, it's pretty simple to understand it. So you know what to look for. I am not a credit repair company. That's not what I do. I don't get paid to do that. I didn't go to school for that. I'm just telling you from 20-plus years of seeing how to move scores and what moves scores, I can give you some advice on what can help you to get there. And you can do a lot of it on your own.
Right. Again, Kurt Rogers with us. It's Affordable Interest Mortgage. Their number is 720-895-0500. All right, so let's start out with credit score. And why, especially now, is that so important?
If you're out looking at a mortgage and you want the best rate, the very first thing that's going to impact the rate is your credit score. Now, you can have scores down to 600. You can have scores up to 800. Depending on that score is going to determine what your rate is going to start at. Not going to end at, but what it's going to start at. If you've got a credit score on a conforming loan limit that's above 740, you're going to put yourself in the bracket to get the very best rate that's available.
Okay.
Whether it's a 10-year, 15, 30, doesn't matter. You're at the top of the realm. If you're looking at a jumbo, they're going to want that score to be a 760 or above. And when I talk about credit scores, they're going to say the mid-score. And what that means is with the three bureaus, they'll take the highest and the lowest and they'll throw them out. What's the one in the middle? That's the score they're going to look at. So sometimes you may have like a 766, a 759, and a 740. What do we do to take that 759 and move it up 1 point? And there's ways to do that. Hmm. And that can help you get a better rate and make less payments and pay less interest. Every 20 points in your credit score affects your loan level pricing adjustments. We're going to get into that. When the lenders look at your loan, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac have what they call loan level pricing adjustments. Depending on your score, depending on this and this and this, there's a fee that goes with that. So for every 20 points, 760, 740, 720, 700, all the way down to 600. So it's important. 20 points can save you $2,000 or $3,000. It's just amazing how quickly you can charge those fees up by 1 or 2 points.
Right. And sometimes 1 or 2 points is all the difference in the world, isn't it?
I've seen 1 or 2 points, somebody at a 638 that needs to be at a 640, and 1 or 2 points has a difference of $4,000, $5,000 in fees.
Wow.
I mean, it can add up quick depending on other factors in the loan, but the credit score is going, the very first thing anybody looks at is going to be your credit score. Not judging you, but understanding how to get you the best rate possible. Mm-hmm. You can't come in with a 680 and think you're going to get a rate of 3%. It's not available.
Right.
That's only for this, not there.
Sure.
I don't set the rules. My job, I'm just telling you what you're going to be
don't
facing
Don't shoot the messenger.
When you go out.
Right.
Not me.
So you're sitting down with somebody and you want to teach them, okay, how do you manage this whole thing with credit? How do you manage it?
Managing your credit score, like anything else, in order to manage it, you got to see it. You got to know it. The federal government came out many years ago saying that you can get your free credit report. Okay. I recommend you get it. Please don't believe that score that's on that there. But I recommend that you get it. Understanding after today, you'll understand how to maneuver some of them points. But know what you've got in your credit report. It'll give you an idea of a score. Know what your score is. Now, when you go to run your credit, let's say you go out to buy a car. They're going to run their credit on certain algorithms that matter to the credit card or to the mortgage lenders that do car loans. If you go out and do a credit card report, it's going to be completely different algorithms with a completely different score. Many people don't understand that. When you come to me on a mortgage, you might have had a 780 when you were applying for credit cards, but with me, you might be at a 740. Because of the way they rank the system, they're giving more favor to this part of it than that part. It's going to affect your score.
Wow.
And you, those are things that you can learn right. pretty quick when you
sure.
see them. Know what goes into your score, what it requires to get to your score. You must, in order to get a good score, you must have credit.
No. Okay. And that sounds simple, but I mean, you do have to have some, and you have to put something on there and pay it off, right?
If you want somebody to loan you money, you got to show that you know how to pay money back.
Right.
And we're going to get into different things, but you need to. I used to do first-time homebuyer seminars, and one of the biggest things I got from most of the young folks is, I don't want a credit, I don't want to pay interest. Well, the easiest way I could explain it to him, I said, so you want somebody to loan you money and give you a great rate on a mortgage, but you haven't proved that you've been able to pay interest. So if you go out and get a credit card, when you walk into a store they want to offer you, and you take a credit card and they'll say they'll give you a $500 limit, take the card. I'm not saying to keep the payments on it. Take the card. Go out and put $50 on it. Pay it off. Put $50, a couple dollars worth of interest. By establishing a history of charging and paying, charging and making payments, charging and paying, you develop a history as to the kind of character that you have with credit, how you value credit, how you look at credit. Because if you don't do that early, if you don't have those in the system,
right.
when you want that big item, i.e. that $90,000 Audi or that $400,000 house, if they don't see anything over here, you need a cosigner.
Mm-hmm.
Credit is, that's how, the first thing you have to do to manage it is you've got to have credit. And then you have to not abuse it. If you have a late payment on a credit card, it's going to affect your score 5 to 7 points. If you have a late payment on a car loan, it's going to affect you 20 to 25 points. If you have a late payment on a mortgage, it's 75 points. So one late on a mortgage is going to drop your score 75 points in most cases.
Wow.
So it's important to make sure you're able to make those payments.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can you recoup from that? Yes. It's not life-ending. It doesn't mean you need to trash everything. But understand the penalty for being late on a mortgage, on being late on a car payment or on a credit card. When we're looking at a mortgage and we see you may have had, let's say, 5 or 6 different 30-day lates throughout the last 2 or 3 years, that's going to be reflected in the score, which isn't going to hurt us a lot because they don't put a lot of merit in that, remember?
Right.
The way we look at it versus them. So you can still make that work. But if you have a late on a mortgage and everything else is perfect, getting another mortgage is going to be tough.
Wow. Real quick before a break, you mentioned something about you may need a cosigner. And I just brought this up because I just knew someone that would do this. Cosigned for their child even for a vehicle. They got sideways, kid left home, wasn't making the payments. Ended up messing up the father's credit. So do you have any words of advice for people when it comes to co-signing?
I raised 2 teenagers. I completely understand that. One of the rules that we had was I had a key to the car at all times. If I found a payment was missed, the car's mine.
That's
so I'm watching my report. Mm-hmm. If I see a 30-day late, I would reach over, I'd grab the car and say it's gone.
Yep.
Now, I'll continue to make the payment because I'm not going to let it trash my credit, but you now don't have a car.
Mm-hmm.
Then I take the car and I put it up for sale and we go bye-bye.
Right.
I understand that might be hard, but those were the rules that I set up with my kids. I couldn't afford that hit because of them. I'm trying to help them and teach them and get them along the ways.
Mm-hmm.
Now, both of them have learned over time through what I call speed bumps, falling down and making mistakes and getting back up and figuring out how to get past it. And they both now have very good credit, and they understand what it takes to keep it there.
Right.
But that's what I did.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Every parent has to parent their child
yep.
differently.
Absolutely. You're listening to Your Money Matters. We've got to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
The physical injuries, emotional damage, and economic damages of your case should be accounted for, and sometimes that means going to trial. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law is willing to go to court for your personal injury case at no additional cost. Other personal injury attorneys will expect extra money when they take your case to trial. In some cases, they won't do the extra work at all. You deserve an attorney who will get you adequate compensation. He will do his best to get you the fair value of your case and will even take it to trial if necessary. Kevin Flesh with Flesh and Beck Law works on a contingency rather than a retainer. That means they get paid once you get the money and take the same percentage whether you take the money or not. Kevin Flesh wants more for you. Set up a free consultation with personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh to get the legal guidance you deserve. Call 303-806-8886. That's 303-806-8886.
Now's the time to save at the Outdoorsman's Attic. Here are just a few of the discounts you will find. All fishing gear and sleeping bags, 30% off. All Sitka gear and packs, 25% off. Gun accessories, decoys, archery, selected optics, all 20% off. And if you've got some camping, hunting, fishing gear you want to turn into cash, take it to the Outdoorsman's Attic. Shop now, save now at the Outdoorsman's Attic, 2650 West Hampton in Sheridan. Family owned and operated. Great gear, great service, all at the Outdoorsman's Attic.
With rates on the rise, how do you get the best rate? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Did you know that when you get cash out, or your FICO score is below a 740, or you're financing a condo versus a single family home, it will cost you more in rate and fees? Many lenders are charging more. Stop paying it. At Affordable Interest Mortgage, we have lenders that don't charge. Trying to purchase a second home, or is your loan amount considered a high balance or jumbo? There they go again, charging you more. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Let us show you a loan that doesn't charge more. Seeing a low rate but not reading the small print, only to realize all the extra costs and fees? Again, stop. Call 720-895-0500. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Quit paying fees and closing costs that are unnecessary. Get a low rate without all the extra cost. Let us show you how to save thousands. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. 720-895-0500. Serving Coloradans for over 20 years. NMLS 298191, regulated by DORA.
Rush to Reason with John Rush. Weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio and our special edition of Your Money Matters. Once again, brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage. Their number is 720-895-0500. If you're just joining us, Kurt Rogers in studio, and we are kind of working through the topic of credit, your credit score, understanding what makes up your score. And we're going to cover a lot of areas in this today. And if you've got any questions, hey, our number is 303-477-5600. All right, Kurt, so let's take up that topic. What makes up your credit score?
Your credit score basically comes down to five categories on how they come to the score part. By making your payments on time, whether you got two pieces of credit or 20, making your payments on time is going to equal 35% of your score. So 700 score, you're making your payments on time, you're going to do well because you're at 35%. But what surprises most people is the next one. The one that affects most of your score besides that is the amount of credit card debt you not have, how you manage your credit card debt. For example, how many cards do I have that my limit's 1,000 and I owe more than 500? It's the amount that's available versus the amount used. That percentage affects your score and how it's paid. So if you have, I had one lady, she had five credit cards, $1,000 a piece. She owed $400. She had five credit cards with $500 a piece. She owed $400 on them. We took $1,000 and paid $200 to each one of those cards. Raised her score 67 points with $1,000 because it went from owning $400 on a $500 card to $200 on a $500 card. The bank doesn't care how many zeros are behind that first number. They care what the percent is. They don't care that you have 20 of them and you pay them on time. If 80% of them are maxed out, you're going to have a bad score. And I was telling you at the break, I got a guy that, nice house, everything. He's got a 614 because he's got massive amount of credit card debt, and it's all maxed. So the bank looks at a situation like that. That person's closer to going bankrupt or foreclosing than anybody else's because they got no room for error.
Right.
And that's where the credit card debt comes in to manage. There are ways to look at your credit card debt. And it doesn't mean you always have to pay it down. You can in turn raise the limit. We had a customer the other day, their limit was $4,000. I said, ask them to raise it to $4,500. That $500 put them at a different percent, raised their credit score 27 points. Didn't cost them a dollar, just talked about movement. So that is a huge one to pay attention to. So when you get your own free credit report, look at what your differences are. The goal is to be at 40%. You can be at 45, you'll be all right. You get to 60 of what you owe, $1,000 limit, don't get it to $600 balance. Use a different card. Paying them off fast is fine, but don't get it above the 60%. So many times when you walk into a store, they want to give you a credit card and say, here, we'll give you 10% off. And at Christmas time, it's abundant. And I understand that's a nice temptation. I'm saving $10 on $100, or I'm saving $50 on a $250 purchase. Do you understand that, the more inquiries you have, the more cards you start to take, the lower your score goes. Every time you apply for new credit, your score will drop. So that is that $10 or that $50 worth your score going down 20 points. Because in a minute, I'm going to show you how much that 20 points cost. It's a whole lot more than that $50.
Right. So let's take this example. So let's say you got a card, $10,000 limit, you got $5,000 on it. Are you saying keep $2,000 on that card, so it's 20%, and then take the other $3,000 and maybe put $1,000 on three other cards, yes, and your score will go up? Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Make the payments, manage it correctly, and we can do that. We can show you, and again, I'm not a credit repair expert. I just know the systems that I help customers learn to where they can keep their credit score up without having to pay a lot of interest. You have to pay some interest to have the card.
Sure.
You got, in order to develop a score. From there, you can manage it. The next thing that affects your credit score, the first one's 35, credit cards are 30, is the type of installment type of loans you have. Credit cards, installment loan. Installment loan can be for a boat or a motorcycle or a car payment, motorhomes, things like that. Student debt, the only way student debt helps you is if you hurt you is if you don't make the payment. Other than that, it really doesn't help you any because it's student debt. You didn't have to do anything special to get it. They just give it to you. So it's the mix. Having a good mix, having two or three credit cards, having one or two installment loans, mortgage, maybe not. You're going to have a good score.
Right. Let's go. The phone's got Mark on the line. Mark, you're on Haystack Help Radio and Your Money Matters with Kurt Rogers. How are you?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
We're doing great, bud.
Good. I got a question for you. I have never applied for a credit score, but I got one when I applied for a credit card at Wells Fargo. Is that a reputable reporting organization as Wells Fargo?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, have you, Mark, have you attempted to get your free credit report?
I've never done that, but my credit score came back at 824.
Okay. And that's a good thing. Now, for you, it's going to be kind of easy to keep it there. You know, use the card, maybe put $10 on it at a Starbucks and pay him $5 and then pay him off. Again, it's not the dollar size. It's just the use of.
I see. Now, I was in Palm Desert playing golf last week. I rented a car with all the insurance, put $700 on it. I'll pay it off because I want limited liability because I've had my American Express card since 1980. So just wanted to find out if that place, Wells Fargo, was respected by the rest of the credit community.
They're respected as far as the credit reporting agencies go. I don't know about the credit community. But, yes, they are.
Okay. That's all I need to know. Thank you, gentlemen.
How was your golf game?
Yeah.
It was really good, but I played with people that had never played golf, another couple. And my wife and I are members of Lakewood Country Club, and we play pretty good. It was hard, but then I had to tell myself this. Remember when you first started?
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. Patience.
Yeah, every time I play golf, it's like the...
And, you know, and they're sitting at a course that's relatively difficult, Target Golf in the desert. And they're hitting cactuses and palm trees. But you have to tell yourself, everybody starts in the same place. And then you also have to tell yourself, watch TV and see how bad you really are.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Thank you very much.
Hey, Mark, thanks for the call, man. Thanks for listening.
So we'll go back to the mix. You got to have a mix of it. The other thing that can help your score, which is surprising, is the age of your cards. Let's say you have 5 cards and you have 2 that you've opened in the last 2 years, but the other 3 you've had for 5 or more years. Do not close out one of the old ones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if one of the new ones is 0%, that's great. Don't close out the old ones because the average age lets them know you've got good credit for a longer period of time.
Right.
These are things that the lenders look for. What's the stability? How does the person manage their credit? And the last one, it comes back to inquiries. This is another myth. People feel every time that you have an inquiry, your score drops. The answer to that question is yes and no. When you go to do a mortgage bureau, if you come to me on the third of the month and do a mortgage bureau, and I'm running your credit, you could have 10, 15 more people in the mortgage industry run your credit. Won't affect your score in a 30-day calendar period. That's what we've been told by the credit agencies.
Okay.
Same thing goes for a car loan. Same thing goes for credit cards. So if you do them, you do them in a period of time because they understand you need to shop. So they're not dinging your credit every mm-hmm. time each person does it. But don't carry that shopping on for too long. And that's what happens. We see a lot of people that come out of November, December, and their scores have dropped from what they were used to because they got all these free cards. They accepted them.
Right.
And there's a cost to that, and that's part of it.
Now, is there a hit? You know, I've heard of some folks having a card, and they hadn't used it in several years. Credit card company closes it, just kind of went dormant.
Yes.
Does that hurt you as much as you closing it?
It hurts you, maybe not as much. My only thought with the card is, just, again, fill your car with gas. Well, that's more than $50.
Yeah, 95 yesterday. Okay. 95. Yeah.
You know, go out to McDonald's and put $20 on a credit card. Then when it comes in, pay it off. Just tap it once a year.
Gotcha.
Again, it shows the ability to pay back credit on a disciplined plan. That's what moves your score. They're looking for character of credit, and that's how your score is developed.
Okay. Again, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500 is the number, and Kurt and his crew are ready to help you out. And whether you're looking for your first-time home buyer, whatever, it's never too early to start that conversation or refinance, whatever the case may be. And Kurt, again, is our exclusive mortgage lender only one we've ever had here for Haystack. So great, great guy, and his crew will be glad to help you out. All right, Kurt, let's go ahead and dive into here the cost of your credit scores, and let's kind of run through that a little bit.
And I mentioned this earlier, credit scores go in segments of 20. So the difference is between a 620, a 640, all the way up to, per se, a 760. And your credit can be, because of your score, you can take more hits for scores in different things. For example, the lenders will charge you, if your score, let's say, is a 680, and you want to charge and do a condo, you're going to pay more than somebody that's doing a 680 that's trying to buy a house. Let's say you're a 680 and you want to pull cash out versus a guy that doesn't want to pull cash out. The cost of the credit is more. There are things called risk factors that the lender will charge you more money for.
Mm-hmm.
And after the break, I'll get into those fees. But they're called loan level pricing adjustments, and they're affected by loan to value. Do you want to do a 95% loan to value? Do you want to do a 80% or 75? Each one of those has a cost to it, depending on your score. And the lower the score, the more the cost. It might go from an eighth of a percent of the loan loan amount, or it might go to 1% of the loan amount. It depends on the score. So you've got cash out. You've got the term of the loan. You've got the type of property it is, condo versus a manufactured home versus a single family. So those versus a duplex or a fourplex. And then you got loan to value. All of those things are going to affect the rate you get. Remember, we're talking about how do I get the best rate. They're going to affect the rate along with the score. The first one's the score. These come into play on the next.
Right. Let's hit this real quick on bankruptcy. A lot of people think, you know, if you ever file bankruptcy, you'll never own a house or whatever.
Incorrect.
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 You are incorrect, sir.
You are incorrect. You can be in the middle of a bankruptcy and buy a house. I'm not saying it's easy, but you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a thing called a bankruptcy, a BK-13. If you're in a 13, FHA and VA will allow you to purchase a home or refinance a home. Now, once you start your bankruptcy, and many people don't think about this, when you file bankruptcy, if you then have late payments on the bills that you've agreed to keep, you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
if you get a bankruptcy, didn't clear you and didn't teach you anything, not miss your payments, they're not going to play.
Right.
It's the easiest way I could say it. I'm not trying to be rude. No, they won't.
Sure.
But if you're in a Chapter 13 and you're making your scheduled payments on that, and you've been in it, I believe it is a year, you'll be fine. After 2 years, even if you do a Chapter 7, you can get a loan. If you want a conforming loan, you have to wait 4 But on a government loan, you, after a bankruptcy, you can go out and buy another house as long as you've proven you've been able to make payments on whatever you have.
Yep. Great information. Kurt Rogers, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. We'll take a quick break and be back with more right after this.
Hi, this is Chris Kane with 303roofer.com. If you're looking to put on a new roof because of hail, give us a call at 303-390-1382. We'll give you a cash price, which means you'll most likely get to keep some of your insurance money instead of giving it to us. It's your money, we know that, and we'll price the work accordingly. So give us a call today, 303-390-1382, or go to our website, 303roofer.com.
Have you been thinking about a new pair of glasses? Maybe some prescription sunglasses? Well, look no further than Stack Optical. Since 1968, yes, you heard me right, since 1968, Stack Optical has been providing the most comprehensive quality ocular care for their patients. This family-owned business is proud to be one of the few optical offices that has their own on-site eyeglass production and eyeglass repair studio. Stack Optical, located at 2233 South Monaco Parkway, features the most extensive lines of eyeglass frames, sunglasses, and contact lenses to ensure that you love your appearance and experience superior comfort. Our comprehensive eye exams proactively diagnose eye conditions and diseases while providing the most accurate vision care. We welcome you to experience a lifetime of superior ocular care from doctors that are devoted to your eye health. Call now for your $69 eye exam, 303-321-1578. At Stack Optical, you'll see the difference.
Hey, Dan, you know, our jobs are pretty different. I'm a baseball announcer, you're an attorney, and a talk show host.
Yeah, but we do have something in common.
Really? What's that?
Our favorite car dealer, Len Lyle Chevrolet.
Yeah, definitely not your typical dealership.
That's so true, Jack. No high-pressure sales tactics. They respect your time. And when you have two jobs, that's important.
You know, I'd recommend Len Lyle Chevrolet to anyone. And with their low overhead, that means
lower prices. Yeah, we really do have something in common.
Len Lyle Chevrolet. Go east and pay the least. Chevy, find new roads.
This is AM 560 KLZ, your home station.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio and Your Money Matter. All right, Kurt, real quick, what's the market doing for you? Back into our topic here. What are you seeing right now these last few weeks?
Okay, rates have moved up. Everybody knows that. There's conversation that tomorrow the Feds are going to raise the Fed's fund rate. Initially, they wanted to raise it a half a point. I think because of inflation, they're only going to raise it a quarter, especially with what's going on in Ukraine. But the banks have already taken that hit. They've already raised their rates. Please understand, and I know many of you have heard this, the Fed's fund rate does not affect mortgage rates. Mortgage rates are affected by the bond market. They kind of run together, but the bond market's going to control what's going on with mortgages. Mortgages have already moved up. If you haven't looked at a mortgage rate, don't please come out here and think that you're going to get 2.5 because those rates are gone. They are higher. You're going to be in the threes now. In some cases, again, depending on your score, you could be higher than that. We're going to see rates keep going. With inflation the way it is, with what's going on in Ukraine, it's going to be a volatile market for the next, until they, at least we get this thing in Ukraine fixed, and sure, we can't fix it. It has to be fixed. So we're going to see the market move. Do I think rates will continue to rise? I believe the Fed's fund rate will. They affect car loans, credit card loans, home equity lines of credits. Yeah. Best way I could say it.
Right. All right. Anything else there on our loan to value and types of properties?
Nope. That, okay. Depending on your credit score, you're going to get affected on there. Many people are, you know, wondering, with the rates increasing, how do I make sure I get the best rate? Well, the first thing I'm going to come back to is your credit score.
Yep.
That's going to affect your rate more than anything else. In addition to that, things that will affect your rate is the lower the loan, the value. There's many people that want to come out and buy a home, and they want to put only 5% down. I get it. But you're going to pay a higher rate, and mm-hmm. you're probably you don't always have to pay mortgage insurance, but you're going to pay mortgage insurance. Now, is paying mortgage insurance a bad thing? It just depends on what you're doing. Let's say you want to buy a house with your child, and the two of you go in, and he's in college, and you want to buy him a place to stay while he's going to college. So you co-sign for him to buy the house, and you only want to put the 5% down. And the purpose of that is he's into it for a year or two. At the end of that period of time, in the year, you can maybe refinance out, get drop off the mortgage insurance. Even if the rate goes up, you're going to still lower your payment. So if you're looking at the long-term effect, the mortgage insurance is for a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to get the best rate, you have to put more money down. 80% eliminates the mortgage insurance most of the time. You go down to 70 or 75%, you get a better rate because you have less cost to it. So the more down payment you have, the better it is, the lower the loan to value is. Some people are saying, should you pay to drop your rate? I'm getting that question a lot. There's two things that are coming up because of where rates are. Should I buy my rate down to make it work? And that, in my opinion, there's a simple equation to make that work. How long are you going to be in the home? How long do you plan on it? Now, that can change, but how long do you plan on it? If you have a rate of, let's say, 3.5%, and you want a rate of 3.25%, it may cost you, let's say, $2,000 to do that.
Right.
Okay, fine. I'll spend the $2,000, my rate goes to 3.25%. My payment goes down, let's say, $14 a month. You take what the payment saving is, divide it into the cost that you just spent to get that rate. How many months is that? In most cases, it's anywhere from 36 to 49. I've just done it too many times.
Roughly.
Roughly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So am I going to be in the house 36 to 49 months? If so, then after that period of time, every dollar I'm spending, I'm saving money. Up to that time, I spent too much to get the rate. It's a simple mathematical equation. So determine what's best for you. If you're hung up thinking the low rate is the best thing for me, pay the money and move on.
Yeah.
If you're not so hung up saying to where you can brag to your neighbors, I got this rate, it's the best rate in the world, when everybody else says you couldn't get it. Well, you don't tell them you paid for it to get it.
Sure.
So that's the other way. The other part that's coming up now, should I do an ARM? ARMs were not effective probably for the last 4, 5, 6, 8 years. Because the 30-year fixed rates were so low, ARM rates were not competitive. ARM rates were almost the same, if not the same, as a 30-year fix. So why would you get an ARM? Well, with rates moving up, ARM rates now are better. They can be a half to as much as 0.75 points lower. Is an ARM a bad loan? No. Again, depending on your situation. ARM rates back in 2008, a lot of them had prepays. Federal government come in with the mortgage meltdown and said, nope, nope, we can't do this, can't do this. So ARM rates are much more strict. They can't jump real quickly. They can't have prepays on them. So an ARM rate may work. Unless you're only buying a home for a temporary basis, I would not recommend a 3, because a 5-year ARM rate is about the same as a 3-year ARM rate. But you may want to look at that depending on, is this my first home, my second, or my forever home?
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do with the home? Again, analyze, manage, how long am I going to be in this home?
Right.
So if you're going to be there for a while, maybe an ARM's not the best. But if you think you're going to be there for 3 to 5 to 7 years, you can get 5-year ARMs, you can get 7-year ARMs, you can get 10-year ARMs, to where it's fixed for a period of time, and then it can move.
Mm-hmm.
That's when we sit down with you and say, here's a 30, here's your payment, here's what it is, here's an ARM. Here's how much you're going to save. Here's how you recoup the difference. We give it to you in numbers. We're not prejudiced either side. We don't make more money if you pick this loan over that loan.
Right.
We're here to say what fits what you want to do first.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll show you the product for it.
Right. Again, it's Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. All right. So how do you get the best rate? Of course, have the best credit score, lower that loan to value, and probably a little extra money down would help, right, Kurt?
Yeah. Banks like money down. It protects the bank from foreclosures.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Now, in the situation we've been in, again, it has calmed down a little bit, but how do you make your offer attractive to the seller?
And I believe every realtor that's out there that's listening will agree with this. You must get a pre-approval, and please make sure you get a real pre-approval. A real pre-approval means you have to give documentation. You can't say, here's what I make.
So if you haven't given
documentation,
don't be fooled with the language. You ain't got it.
You ain't got a pre-approval. Because as good as we are as brokers, we're not underwriters. If we were underwriters, we wouldn't be brokers. Underwriters look at the regulations and say, here's what we think you make. We need the documentation to prove it. We need to look at your debt-to-income ratio, your assets, your job stability. That's not what brokers do. We have a good idea. But when we say you're approved, doesn't mean you're approved. We need to get that from an underwriter. And there's a way to do it online, and there's a way to do it sending it to a lender. So you must get pre-approved. That will normally take 24 to 36 hours. So if you're given all that information, please don't run out and make an offer on a house. Because you're still not going to get the approval because we don't have it back yet. But in order to buy a house, to get your offer even listened to, you need a pre-approval. Part of what's happening now that I'm hearing from listing agents, when my customer makes an offer on a house, they're not calling me up just to say pre-approval. Or they have it. Have they given you the documentation? What lender you're going to? How long is this good for? They're going to ask me a lot of pertinent questions. They're now starting to ask me if before we close, is the rate, when are you going to lock the rate? And if the rate goes up, can these people still qualify? Because if the rate's moving, builders are a good example of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, somebody started 8 months ago, they were paying 3%, 2.5%. Well, they're not paying it now. Do they still qualify? And the realtors are starting to do the same thing. They're asking those questions. Can they handle a half a point hit in the rate adjustment and still qualify to buy my home before it closes? Because you're not locked. I can't lock a loan unless I have a property. So when I give you the pre-approval, that realtor knows that loan's not locked. And if the rates change, are they approved at the new rate?
Right.
Those are questions that are coming in. So you need to be prepared for that. So when we set you up on a pre-approval, I have a little software app program that I'll pre-approve you to a maximum loan amount with a maximum rate. Hmm. So you can plug all that in, and it will automatically print out your pre-approval. But that's what they're looking for nowadays.
Right. Now, if somebody gets approved for $550,000, comes back, they need $558,000. Are they putting $8,000 out, or is there a way you can sometimes get a little extra?
You bring up a great point because a lot of that comes into appraisal gaps. But yes, if they come back at $8,000 more, most of the time we can get it put into the loan. Again, it comes back to loan to value.
Gotcha.
Am I doing an 80% or am I doing an 81%? At 81% loan of value, I can still do it without mortgage insurance. $8,000 isn't going to affect me that much.
Mm-hmm.
But what will affect people, be ready when you go out to buy a home for what's called appraisal gap. An appraisal gap is if I make an offer on a home of $550,000 and that home appraises for $500,000, the bank will do the 80% or the 90% on the $500,000, not the $550,000. So if they're doing 10% down, I'm at $450,000 loan amount, but my purchase price $550,000. I now have to come up with $100,000.
Right.
There are ways that I can help you do that and get around the appraisal gap. But you need to be aware of it because your realtor is going to ask you about it. They're going to ask me, do they have the money to handle an appraisal gap? Otherwise, that offer, remember, we're asking, how do I make my offer work? They're going to want to know all this so when they put the offer in, all of these questions are answered. Because for the guy that doesn't have these answers, they're not even going to look at it. They're going to just move it to the bottom of the stack and keep moving on. And I don't make the market. I'm just telling you some tricks on how to get around it.
All right.
And if you're a first-time home buyer.
Man, I tell you, I was just going to say, ever seen a rougher time for first-time home buyers in these last couple of years?
No.
Yeah.
And one of the main reasons for that, if you have to do a purchase on a home and you're using VA, FHA, or first-time home buyer, your chances even become worse because it's a tougher loan. FHA has tougher requirements on inspection of the home for the appraisal. So does VA. Now, VA will allow appraisal gaps, and so will FHA, but with the appraisals, the seller doesn't want to go through that. The listing agents will tell the seller, we don't need to have to go through that tougher appraisal inspection, so let's just make it a conventional loan. It's real hard to find one that will accept a VA mm-hmm. or an FHA.
Yep.
First-time home buyers are in the same point because they're normally coming up with only, $2,000-$3,000 down. The chances, the mass majority of them apply for a loan, can't get approved. Sellers don't want to take their home off the market.
Mm-hmm.
I understand both sides.
Sure.
So it's tough. But that's a positive down the road. And when we talk after the next break about what the market's going to look like, right now there's not a lot of homes on the market. Those first-time home buyers and those veterans and those FHA people that want to do homes, they're sitting in the wings waiting for more homes to become available, the market to stabilize. no more appraisal gap, then they get to play. So that's going to keep the market active, at least for the next year, because there's thousands of them over here wanting to do something, and they can't.
Sure. Folks, you need to sit down with someone not like Kurt. You need to sit down with Kurt, okay? Go through these things with credit. And, again, maybe you're thinking about doing something over the next few months, next year, whatever. It's never too early, as I mentioned earlier, to sit down with Kurt and just kind of go through your credit, make sure you have a good understanding of it, make sure it reflects what you think it reflects. The number is 720-895-0500. We'll be right back. For years now, you've heard me talk about Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. Hey, this is Scott Watley, and yes, for almost 20 years, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center has been taking care of our pets. From medical, grooming, boarding, and even training, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center is your one stop for all of your pet's needs. Not only is their facility state-of-the-art, but now you can download the free Lone Tree Vet app and visit their online store for your pet products and pharmacy needs. You can also have your very own pet portal. Plus, don't forget to read their blogs at LoneTreeVet.com. Do you take your dog on hikes? Check out Hiking the Trail Safely with Your Dog. At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, they believe all pets deserve to have a good life. Call today 303-708-8050 or check them out, LoneTreeVet.com.
Turn a normal day into an adventure on an e-bike. Hi, I'm Randy Carancy, founder of eBike of Colorado. E-bikes are a fun way to ride around town. Just try it. Pedal Assist technology flattens the steepest hills. We have 14 major brands to choose from, and our expert staff will find you the perfect bike. Come take a free test ride at eBike of Colorado in downtown Louisville next to the historic grain elevator. Open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Learn more at ebikeofcolorado.com. Just try it.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio and Your Money Matters. A few more minutes here with our guest, Mr. Kurt Rogers from Affordable Interest Mortgage. Once again, Kurt's number, 720-895-0500. All right, Kurt. Man, what the future holds, man, nobody really knows here, but rates are increasing. So how do you see that affecting our home prices?
Right now when this happens, when the rates start to go up like that, everybody seems to think that the value of homes is going to stop and they're going to quit. And the availability is going to get high and everything's going to change. And I understand that because you have a lot of negative talking heads out there. But you have to look at the numbers. The numbers are pretty much going to tell you the truth. And I mentioned about FHA and VA, but there's a whole bunch of people who want to buy homes.
Sure.
There's no homes available. Right now we are sitting with the average number of homes in Colorado sold is between 6,000 and 8,000 a month. Okay? Now, that's counting new builds and everything. Right now we're sitting with about 2,000 to 2,500 on the MLS. So where are these houses coming from? A lot of them are new builds. But that availability isn't just going to increase up to 18 to 20,000, which is what we need, 2.5 to 3 times the supply. So that's not going to happen for a while. So because of that, the demand is going to keep happening. We still have people moving in from the East and the West Coast. Why? It's cheaper here and it's nicer. Even with state income tax, our tax rate's better than California or New York.
Sure.
Or Washington, we got a lot of people moving in. So the availability is going to be high. And as long as the demand is exceeding the availability, home value prices are going to keep going. Now, in 2021, the values of homes went up 11 to 13% that year. I do not believe that that percentage will stay the same. I think we're probably going to be closer to 8. So if you got a $500,000 house, that means that house is making 40 grand in a year. That's going to happen throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to continue to go up. I don't think they'll be at the 11, but next year you might start to see a change, again, depending on inflation and depending on where the rates are at that time, will determine what's going on. There's just so many things. And as a side note, with the price of gas going up, if they can't seem to control that, I believe inflation will, and I mentioned this at the beginning, it could move 7 to 10%, which is going to scare people. It's going to affect people. But there's still millions of people working. Millions of people still want to buy a home or sell their home or upgrade their home. So those things are going to happen. I think next year homes will start to depreciate in some areas. There's certain parts of Colorado that the demand's not so high, so they'll start to drop. Other than that, I think that it will get back to normal. And for all of the 1990s, the average appreciation was 4.6% in Colorado. What about people that want to sell? I think now's a good time to sell. Don't try to sell in September or October.
If you know where you want to go, though, right?
Yeah, but you got to know where you want to go. Now's the right time to sell and plan. Many people want to sell their house. They want to buy a house before they sell a house. That can be done. There are ways that you can do that. If you're thinking of selling, now's the time to get the top dollar for it, because in a year from now, I don't think it's going to be there.
Right. All right, wrapping it up today, but we always talk about being mortgage safe. Tell us how that works.
Never in the history of, and this is throughout the nation, have you had as much equity as you do in your home. Many people have $200,000-$300,000 worth of equity because homes are appreciating $40,000-$80,000 in a year, and they haven't refinanced for 3 years. So what happens if the market does go down? If you're going to stay in your home and you're comfortable, you got a great rate, I'm not telling you to refinance. What I'm asking you to look at is there a way to be able to give me a pocket of money that should something happen, should the economy crash, should I be laid off, should something happen and I need money, that I have enough money to take and pay my mortgage? And there's ways to do that. You can go out and get a side loan, a home equity line of credit, that it costs you maybe $350 to $500 to get, costs you nothing to keep. You can get a $50,000 to $100,000 line of credit just sitting there. So if something goes wrong, you can reach in and take the money out. Don't spend it. Don't use it now. It's to make it to where you can make your mortgage payment. My neighbor was unemployed for 18 months because she had the asset manager and had access to her equity.
Right.
She was able to make her house payment. That, I think, most people have never even thought of doing that. But you have the opportunity now because of values where they are and rates are still extremely low. Protect yourself. Get yourself a little bucket of money sitting over here that costs you nothing till you need it. Mm-hmm. And when you need it, you really need it. Because if you know anything about borrowing money from a bank, they never give it to you when you need it. They'll give it to you when you don't need it, which is now.
Absolutely.
Now's the time to get that opportunity. That's the best.
Absolutely. Hey, just about 60 seconds here, but congrats on a great seminar.
Wonderful.
You know, I mentioned asset manager just then, but a lot of people got to learn about that. And, man, you had a great turnout.
Yeah, we had a great turnout. We're probably going to be doing another one in September. There were a lot of great questions. A lot of people understood. The more you start to learn about that loan, you start to understand all the different things it can do to protect you no matter what happens. You're going to pay less interest to own your home. You're going to pay a lower rate because you're paying less interest.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about the rate. It's about the total interest you pay. And when you pay less interest, you're dropping your interest rate. And it gives you the access to the equity of your home for 30 years. As long as you own it, you've got access to the money.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was a very good seminar.
Well, good deal. We want to thank all the listeners that turned out for that. And, again, Kurt's number, 720-895-0500. Any disclosure, sir?
No.
Oh, no?
All right. No.
We'll disclose. Good. Kurt is the best mortgage person around. That's our disclosure for today. Once again, 720-895-0500. Thanks for being with us. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Get out and enjoy the day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.